Good day, my good black family. Welcome to my podcast. It is I and I, your host, Dumisho, aka Soweto, and I'm broadcasting live from South Africa. Today, we are tapping into the knowledge of the great teacher Marcus Garvey, quoting also from the book Marcus Garvey, Message to the People, The Course of African Philosophy, edited by Tony Martin. In September 1937, 3 years before his death, Marcus Garvey assembled a small group of his most trusted organizers. For almost a quarter of a century, he had led the Universal Negro Improvement Association, at its peak, the largest international mass movement in the history of African peoples. Now, he wanted to pass on the lessons he had learned to the group best suited to carry the struggle forward. For 1 month, he instructed his elite student body 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. The sessions were secret and much of the instructions was not written down. The student did, however, receive written copies of 22 lessons, which Garvey called the Course of African Philosophy. This fascinating distillation of a great leader's experience is published here for the first time. Let me hope that into whomsoever's hands these lessons fall, that they may use them wisely. For in these lessons there is eternal life for Africans at home and abroad, in that they testify to God's greatest gift to our race in the persons of the Hon, H-O-N, by Marcus Mosia Garvey. Now, without wasting any time, let's get on to our content. So I'm reading from page 45, lesson 5, and our topic is about God. There is a God and we believe in him. He is not a person nor a physical being. He is a spirit and he is universal intelligence. Never deny that there is a God. God, being universal intelligence, created the universe out of that intelligence. It is intelligence that creates. Man is a part of that creation. So universal intelligence and man was a sick, S-I-C, created in the image and likeness of God only by his intelligence. It is the intelligence of a man that is like God, but man's intelligence is only a unitary particle of God's universal intelligence. God, out of his universal intelligence, made matter, and he made the mind. That matter is made by God, and man is matter as well as mind. Therefore, man must be in the image of God, because nothing could exist without God. As God made the universe out of his universal knowledge or intelligence, so man in his unitary knowledge or intelligence can make a typewriter, an automobile, or a chair, but he cannot make the universe, because his unitary intelligence is not as much as great as universal intelligence. All the unitary intelligence of the universe goes to make God, who is the embodiment of all intelligence. So no man can be as great as God, because he is only unit of God, and God is the whole. Therefore, no man can measure God nor ask God questions, because he is not as intelligent as God. Therefore, he cannot understand God. Therefore, it is presumptuous when man questions God from his limited unitary intelligence. Man never dies. Nothing dies. Man is made of body and spirit. The spirit is God. It is intelligence the body of man is matter. It changes from living matter in the man to the other matter in the soil. It is always the same matter. It doesn't die in the sense of how we understand death. It changes. When man sleeps and passes away in the flesh, he goes to earth that lives on, out of which other men and things are formed. All matter is related, so man is related to earth, and the earth is related to man. We eat ourselves over and over again. We eat the apple, the banana, the fig, the cherry, the grape. When we drink the water, we are eating and drinking ourselves over and over again. Nothing is lost and nothing dies. Do not be afraid of death, because what you call death is only change, and you are still in the universe, either in the spirit of God, to whom your spirit goes after the change, or as matter, which goes on forever. You are related to the flower, the beautiful rose, the trees, the fishes, and the other animals, just as you are related to God. All of you sprung from God, who is universal intelligence. Do not be more cowardly than the rose, the apple, the coconut, the sheep, the fish, or the cow, to do that which all must do, that which we call death, to die. If you weep, you are a coward. Die like a man, because you are not lost, you are still here. You only weep because you are glutton, because you think that you will not get any more to eat and drink. You think that you will get any more happy times, just as you have been feeding up on things and other beings who came here before you. So someone else must feed on you to make creation true. Otherwise, God would not be fair to everybody and everything. God is fair and just to everybody. He is no respecter of things or persons. And we continue our lesson to page 50, lesson 6, and the topic is Christ. The doctrine of God carries with it the belief in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Christ is supposed to be the begotten Son of God. He had a special mission, and that was to take on the form of a man, to teach man how to lift himself back to God. For that reason, Christ was born as man and came to the world. If Christ as a man never existed, but was only an assumption, it would have been a glorious assumption to set a man a high spiritual example of how he should live. There is no cause to doubt that Christ lived, because you did not see him and feel him yourself as Thomas did. Where should you doubt his existence? If you can doubt that, you may as well doubt that your great grandfather ever lived, because you never saw him nor touched him. Logically, there is a fair assumption for you to believe that your grandfather, whom you knew, must have had a father in order to have been born. Logically, his father must have been your great grandfather. You don't have to see everything to believe it. You must trust some things to those who lived before you. You have a good reason to believe that somebody or something existed before you came here. Never doubt that Christ lived. Never doubt that God lived, because great things happen to prove that before you came into the world. Deny that positively which you know of, and not that which you do not know of. The New Testament reveals the life of Christ as an exemplary one. His life was faultless to a weight. Therefore, it is evident that he must have been a superior creature. If he had played the devil and behaved like the devil, there would have been no example to lead us to the perfection of God, because his life was perfect. Is evidence and fair assumption that he was the begotten Son of God. The greatest thing that Christ taught was love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In these statements are wrapped the highest ideals of a Godhead, as in the relationship of a father with his children. There has been no greater philosophy in the history of mankind. Support this philosophy and never change until God manifests himself to the contrary, which is not likely. It is evident that Christ had his veins the blood of all mankind and belonged to no particular race. Christ was God in the perfect sense of his mind and soul. His spirit was truly God's spirit. His soul, which acted on the advice of God's spirit, was never corrupt. Christ's soul was the free will thought that is similar to the soul free will thought of all men. While his other men with their free will soul become corrupt and do evil, even under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, Christ with his free will soul never disobeyed the Holy Spirit guide of God. In every man there is the Spirit of God, that is to say, that which is there to advise you and direct you to do good always. In each man also there is free will soul, which is the mind. Each may accept the good guidance of the Holy Spirit or refuse to obey it entirely. Man generally disobeys the Holy Spirit of goodness and therefore becomes sinful. Christ never disobeyed the Holy Spirit of goodness, and that was why he was the Son of Man, with whom the Spirit of God was well pleased, because he lived a life so perfect as was intended when God made Adam and Eve. The mission of Christ, therefore, was to redeem man from sin and place him back on the pinnacle of goodness as God intended when he made the first two creatures. The life of Christ is intended to show man that by obedience he can lift himself to the highest soul expression in keeping with the Holy Spirit of God, of which he is a part. But only with free will. A free will can do as he likes. Man has a body, a soul, which is his own identification of himself and the Holy Spirit of God. In the vilest man, there is the Holy Spirit of God, and that man cannot destroy the Holy Spirit of God, because the Spirit in him is the unit of God, which cannot sin and cannot die, because it is everlasting goodness. The thing that sins in man is the man's individual soul, which is his mind. When man corrupts this mind or soul, he is called bad. He is in rebellion against the Holy Spirit of God that is in him. When he dies, as we know it and call it death, whether he dies a bad man or a good man, the Holy Spirit never dies. It goes right back to God, the everlasting goodness. It is the soul of a man which identifies him as a unit of creation that passes away if it is bad and lives on like Christ if it is good. You can judge the truth of this philosophy from your own experience. Try to remember how you think, if it is not a fact that sometimes there is something in you that tells you to do this and another something at the same time tells you to do that. The Holy Spirit, which is goodness, is always telling you and advising you to do the right thing, but your free will soul, which is mind, refuses to accept the instructions and advice of goodness. There is always a debate with oneself to know what to do. You must analyze your system and your being so completely as to know when you are being advised by the Holy Spirit of goodness and follow that advice. If you can satisfactorily do that, then you can be like Christ and lift yourself to the highest plane of spirit and human life. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God at large. It is everywhere. It is really what we call the Spirit. In everything that you see, there is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Man can be a complete manifestation of that Spirit. For as a unit in him, the Spirit becomes responsible and lives and acts. The Holy Ghost is the perfect Spirit of God's intelligence, which is distinct from matter as particles of creation. No particles can exist in nature without the knowledge of God, because God created it. A particle may not contain the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. When life is given and thought is to be expressed, there we have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. A bead of iron may not have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, but in man there are elements of iron as well as other elements, and the complete thoughtfulness of man is made up of all these elements which give existence to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Just as all things are related and man is related to all things in nature, so God is everywhere in nature, but the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is only in the higher thought life, and the highest thought life we know is man. The Holy Ghost Spirit is always in man. The doctrine of the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, is not commonly understood by the ordinary mind that will not think in the guiding Spirit of God. To the mind that thinks with the Spirit of God, it is very pleasingly understood that the Godhead is one in three parts, all related and all doing good. You cannot separate them. This may be a mystery which the ordinary intelligence of a man can not explain, because man is not God in intelligence. But nevertheless, it explains the riddle of the universe. It is preposterous for man to say that he can analyze God in his completeness, because man is only a finite and small unit of divine and universal intelligence. So, while universal intelligence can analyze unitary intelligence cannot analyze universal intelligence. So leave out trying to be like God by demanding from God in mental analysis why he does what he does, why he does not do the other thing. You are not competent. No part is greater than the whole. The whole is always greater than any single part, and man is only single part of God, so he cannot be as great in mind as God. There is a confusion of expression between mind and soul and heart. These expressions are used with laxity. In fact, they all mean the same thing. The soul of a man is the mind of a man, and when we speak of the heart, not the physical thing, but the expressive thing, we mean the soul, which is the mind. So always remember that you have a body, which is the physical case for the soul, which is the mind, which is the heart in the sentimental sense of the heart expressing itself. The Spirit is greater than all, and it is the Holy Ghost and God in man. The Spirit advises the soul, it guides and guards the soul, and when it is disgusted with the behavior of the soul, it leaves the physical body, and the physical body dies, as we describe it. In fact, the physical body does not die, it becomes matter in different form. It may become earth again, from which flowers and vegetation grow and bloom, and from which man eats back himself in the form of fruit and vegetable life. Nothing is lost in nature, and nothing really dies, because everything is God's that is eternal and everlasting. A good soul may pass away in what we call death, like a bad soul, but a soul also has an everlasting identity that may pass into some higher realm of usefulness. It may become an angel, or it may be used by God in some higher sphere. The wicked soul never comes back. It goes out, and that is man's hell. Its going out is called going to hell, because it never lives again as a soul. Therefore, a good soul lives forever. A bad soul passes out when the Spirit of God has left the body in which the soul is found. The soul is judged before it completely disappears, and will recognize its punishment in the judgment before God. Then it is completely obliterated. You can worship God by yourself. You are responsible to God by yourself. You have to leave your own soul before God. Nobody but you can save your soul. Others may advise you on how to shape your soul because of your ignorance of life. Keep in communion with God. No one but you can save your soul. In your soul lies a relationship between God. Therefore, always worship with your own heart, soul, and mind. When you want to commune with God, make your heart, soul, and mind your altar and express it in the following way. My altar, I have built a sacred place, all mine, to worship God who is divine. I go there every day in thought, right to my own dear sacred heart, my altar. No one can change me in my mood, for I do live on God's sweet food. He feeds me every day with love, while angels look at it above my altar. When all the world goes wrong without, I never hold one single doubt, for I do find a great relief when I do trust my own belief, my altar. I see the Savior of the world, whose light to all has been unfurled. He utters agonizing plea with shining eyes that surely see, my altar. I shall remain with faith of rock to see the shepherd lead his flock. And when he comes to claim each heart, my yield shall be in wholesome part, my altar. Man was redeemed by Christ to reach the perfect state as man through his soul. The symbol of the Christ was the cross in the sentiment. Therefore, man adores the cross. The black man has a greater claim to the cross than all other men. It is the symbol of Christ's triumph. Then the Negro or the African people should share in the triumph, because Simon the Cyrenian bore the Christ. Simon the Cyrenian shared in the original triumph. The shortest prayer we may give to God, even if we never pray otherwise, is to make the sign of the cross and say at the same time, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It is a very powerful prayer. It supersedes all others. If the words are repeated sincerely and earnestly from the heart, God answers that prayer. Do it always. In going to bed, you need not to make a long prayer. make the sign of the cross, and repeat the words. Catholics appreciate the value of the cross. That is why they make the sign of the cross as a part of their religion. They have no right to the cross because they crucified Christ on the cross. The cross is the heritage of the black man. Do not give it up. This has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic religion. This is our religion and our interpretation of the significance of the cross and Christ. When it is said, "Thou shalt not kill," it is meant, "Thou shalt not kill the soul," because the soul is the personality of a man. "Thou shalt not kill" does not refer to the flesh, because flesh is matter, and matter passes from one stage to another. By change, it is always matter. But if the soul does wickedness and evil, it dies. It only lives when it is perfect in keeping with God's goodness. Therefore, when it is said, "Thou shalt not kill," it means you must not kill the soul of a man. This is how warriors such as Napoleon, the imperious pharaohs, and all the religious warriors who fought battles among men interpreted it. This is how the Israelites interpreted it when they fought against the Philistines. This is how Joshua interpreted it when he fought against the Canaanites. This is how it shall ever be, because men shall ever be at war with men in the fight of good against evil. And last but not least, a poetry by Walter Savage Landor. Leaf after leaf drops off, flower after flower, some in the chill, some in the warmer hour. Alive they flourish, and alive they fall, and the earth who nourished them received them all. Should we, her wiser sons, be less content to sink into her lap when life is spent? And the title for this poem is "Leaf After Leaf Drops Off" by Walter Savage Landor. The reason I'm touching on these topics, Christ and God, is to show you a different aspect of how leaders or teachers think of the universal creator. But because we are brainwashed or Europeanized by TV, a television, a newspaper, a magazine, or at school, we have been programmed the way they want us to be programmed. So it is very important to have a different aspect of how people see or know God or God of their own. Remember, the intelligent universe, the creator of all, the creator of heaven and earth. In Southern Africa, we say Mupi wa mahodimo le mafase, the creator of all, the creator of heaven and earth. That's in Northern Sotho, Mupi wa mahodimo le mafase. But nevertheless, it is very important to know the truth, and the truth is that we are all gods. But if we become ignorant, then ignorance leads us astray. Now, this is it from me to you, my listener. Please share the knowledge, share to your friends, family. Let's spread the knowledge, and knowledge is power, and with great power comes great responsibility. So let's be responsible with this power. Peace out.